chickens in the houses, they got chickens in the trees, chicken in the pots, the Mottawoga, Petaloomies, out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Now Marvin got me started, sold me my first hen. Now I got 4 and 20 and 24 more again. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Chicken in the morning, it's chicken in the night. Weren't for chicken, Petaluma never would have reached its height. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, smart talk about food, wine, and farming in the North Bay and beyond. It's Michelle and Jordan. Did you have a good weekend? A happy Mother's Day, if that is a holiday you acknowledge and celebrate. Did you get to a farmer's market? The farmer's market in Sebastopol today was just glorious. The very first summer squash, the first apricots, the first cherries, and I forgot my cherries. I asked a woman to hold me Rainier cherries so that I wasn't, you know, carrying them around and getting them squashed by the other things I was buying, and I went home without them, and I feel very guilty. So I will buy twice as many next week. But it was just a great market. The markets right now are just bursting with such a glorious spring harvest, and it's so much fun cooking with it. I like to shop at the farmer's market on Sundays, and then I just go home and I do a lot of cooking, whether I'm going to eat it or not. I just cook, and it sets me up for the whole first part of the week. And I write about that. I write about cooking in that style in my Press Democrat column. Before I introduce our guests, and we have a great, great topic tonight, a topic that is really close to my heart, I'm going to do something I don't usually do on Mouthful, and that's talk about my own work. But I have two brand new books out, The Good Cook's Book of Mustard and The Good Cook's Book of Tomatoes. More Than Meatballs came out in November, and that, along with Vinaigrettes, which came out 2 years ago, but I think is still in its infancy, or at least its toddlerdom. They are going to be part of an event at the Occidental Center for the Arts on Friday night, May 15th. That's this coming Friday. It's a free event. It's going to be multimedia. I will have my magic pantry apron on stage with a slideshow behind it. I'm going to be doing a reading. There will be a Q&A period, a very quick cooking demonstration. I'm not sure exactly what that's going to be yet, but it will be quick and yummy. There will be three of my desserts. And if you know me, I don't do that many desserts, but volunteers are making desserts from some of the new books. And then four books will be available for sale. It's going to be a really fun evening. And if you've not been to the Occidental Center for the Arts before, it's a great opportunity to get this, to know this really wonderful space. I was just so impressed. And they have monthly book launch parties for several weeks. I think this year, I think they start in May, and then they have them for several months until fall, or I think until late fall. So, and they're always free. They're always fun. There's often an art show in conjunction, and right now there's a children's art show up. So if you have a chance, next Friday night, 7 o'clock at the Occidental Center for the Arts, I'd love to see you there, and I promise a really good time. And one thing, one of the things that you will have to drink is my shrubs. I'm going to have blueberry shrub and strawberry shrub, and you can have a splash in still water, sparkling water, or sparkling wine, or still wine. So maybe I'll see you there. And now, tonight we are going to talk about a great organization called Farm to Pantry, and it's a gleaning organization. And gleaning, it means different things to different people, has a long tradition in Europe, where it has been ruled, especially in France, the right of the people to go into the field, the commercial fields, after they've been harvested, and take what hasn't been harvested. And there's a great film, if you've never seen it in English, it's called, sort of oddly, The Gleaners and I. It's by Agnès Varda, and she further expands the meaning of what it means to glean. It's a really wonderful film. We showed it for Mouthful's anniversary a number of years ago, when we used to do movie nights every November for our anniversary. Anyway, we now have an organization in Sonoma County, Farm to Pantry, and if I have it right, it was founded by Melita Love, is that right?
Yes, that's
yes,
correct.
It was. Well, congratulations. You've been going for, what, 7 years now?
Yes, we started in 2008.
So. And we also have, you know, and partly it's just so great, it's Mother's Day, we have a mother-daughter gleaning team here. We have Pauline and Deanna Allen. Welcome to Mouthful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here. So tell me about the history of your organization.
Well, in 2008, I actually moved up to Sonoma County. And
from where?
I had been living and raising my family in San Francisco. And I felt so incredibly blessed to be living in this beautiful place where we have this bounty all year long. And trying to think about what was I going to do in this new environment. It was very serendipitous. I was in a grocery store, not actually in Healdsburg, and at the end of the checkout counter, they had a bin, and it was for their local food pantry. And mm-hmm. I thought, wow, this is great. After you've purchased your items, you can put something in the bin. But then when I looked in the bin, I saw all of this processed food.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked over at what I was getting, and it was full of fruits and vegetables and I don't know, it was just like this moment. I went, something is just not right with this picture. And knowing that we had so much bounty in our own county, I thought, well, what can I do for those in our, where I live, that may not have access to it?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really know at the time, and I went on a journey of talking to a lot of different people. And then I lost my sunglasses, which I do all the time, at the farmer's market.
Yes.
And I had to go and introduce myself to the market manager, Mary Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd been thinking about, well, what happens to all those fruits and vegetables that the farmers can't sell?
Mm-hmm.
And Mary told me a very sweet story about how there had been a gentleman named Bob, and Bob was a retiree, and then he retired again from the gleaning at the farmer's market, and there was no one to do it. And so the farmers took him home, and they gave them to their chickens. And I thought, well, wait a minute, that's something I think I can probably do if I get a key to the food pantry, because it's closed mm-hmm. on Saturdays.
This was the Healdsburg food pantry.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's Farm to Pantry.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the beginning, I just, you know, I sort of picked up where someone else had left off
mm-hmm.
and was just gleaning at the market.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone said to me that that they had some fruits and vegetables from their own farm that they would really like to donate. And I said, well, bring them in and we'll take them to, I think they were someone only here on the weekends or they worked all day and they couldn't get to the food pantry. So I put a sign out that we would collect homegrown produce at the food, you know, at our little table. And then someone saw it and said that she had a tree of figs and she would love to donate them, but she couldn't pick them. Mm-hmm. And literally at that moment, someone else was walking by and said, well, I'd love to help you with that. And so the three of us went out and we started gleaning. Mm-hmm. And that was the beginning of the actual gleaning part. Mm-hmm. So, and that first glean was something like 50 pounds. And it was in October, so it was figs and then walnuts. And now we regularly do much more than that, hundreds of pounds a week. Mm-hmm. And
does it all still go to that particular pantry?
Well, no, we've branched out because mm-hmm. there were times when we had so much, like I think it happened with oranges, actually, and mm-hmm. we had hundreds and hundreds of pounds of oranges. There's one particular property where we go almost a ton of oranges, and
wow.
it's a private orchard,
uh-huh.
and we knew that our food pantry would not be able to distribute
mm-hmm.
all of that,
yeah.
and one of our gleaners had a contact with one of the after-school programs,
uh-huh.
and then so that's how that started, and then we made contact with other after-school programs, mm-hmm. Programs, some of the, our first focus is on low-income mm-hmm. families, children, and seniors.
Mm-hmm. What about the Redwood Empire? Have you connected?
Yes, we've definitely connected with mm-hmm. them. And believe it or not, we have some days where we have so much that we glean that we deliver to over 10 places. We deliver to our food pantry, and mm-hmm. then we will take it to the food bank,
mm-hmm.
where there are all these local agencies that come to the food
right.
bank. And I don't know if you know, but that's if it's fruits and vegetables, they are free for
right.
the agencies
uh-huh.
to come. And so we know that it's really getting widely distributed,
mm-hmm.
which is a nice feeling.
What a great thing. Pauline and Deanna, how did you get involved in this?
Well, I got involved about almost a year ago, and I go to the Santa Rosa Junior College, and I was attending the career fair, and I saw Stephanie there, who then worked for Farm to Pantry, and there was a job description for an internship, and I thought, wow, that looks so great. Like, I could be doing that. And that's kind of how I got started.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm the intern. And then I brought my mom along.
I don't know if her mom had a choice on this one.
So, sure I did. I had read about people that just started gleaning in their city neighborhoods when mm-hmm. they would see fruit trees and mm-hmm. neighbors and ask permission to pick them. So I was aware of efforts to distribute wasted food to good homes before it was just compost. And after Pauline had been working for Farm to Pantry for a while, she said, hey, there's going to be some gleans in Sebastopol, and that's where I live. So.
Whereabouts in Sebastopol? What area of Sebastopol?
We live directly north of town. And I think the first glean I went to was in Grayton.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I can and there's one in my area, I like to go help.
Yeah, there's a lot of unpicked apples, a lot of unpicked Asian pears.
Yes.
I live due west of town. And sometimes, depending on what I'm doing in the fall, there's some unpicked quince at my house. I have four quince trees, but there's also a lot of chestnut trees in this 40-acre orchard immediately west of my house. And there's also Asian pears and apples that don't get picked. So we can talk.
Yes.
Yes.
I read recently that there are some problems happening. And that's part of the reason I wanted to address the issue of gleaning. What's going on with the health department and stuff?
Well, we are actively working with the county health department and the ag commissioner to try to make sure that some of the regulations that are coming down from the state will not impede the ability for us to glean the surplus produce
mm-hmm.
and take it to places that serve those in need. And part of it is the new state law that was passed and became effective January 1st. It's AB 1990. And I think the intention was very good. They wanted to make sure that all of the food that all of us should have access to safe food, whether mm-hmm. you know, we buy it at the grocery store or the farmer's market
mm-hmm.
or we go to our local food pantry. And I understand the intention there. But basically, that they have said that anybody who's selling produce, even very small sellers, So like if you had, this happens in Healdsburg, where one of our local restaurants put out a call for citrus, mm-hmm. and then people were bringing in their home citrus, and mm-hmm. They actually were told that they couldn't do that, that it had to have been from some approved source. So this was supposed to help in that regard also, to provide a way for people who might want to sell, mm-hmm. and also to make sure that the food that anyone has is safe. Mm-hmm. But what they've done is they said it's up to the local jurisdiction to...
Enforcement?
Yes, to enforce how that is. So that's being worked out. And then Sonoma County put into place something a few years ago called the Approved Produce Garden Certificate. And that was really supposed to address what we were talking about earlier, about someone who wanted to sell or trade their citrus to, like, a local restaurant for maybe a free drink or a dinner or something like that. So they put this in place, but there wasn't any enforcement, and it didn't specifically address gleaners. Mm-hmm. But now the state regulation calls out gleaners, too. And so we have, the county has actually responded very well to mm-hmm. our concerns, and they don't want to interfere at all with the produce that would go to waste to those in need. Mm-hmm. They just want to make sure that there's some way to assure that good best practices are being followed. Mm-hmm. So it may be one of the things that's being discussed is that gleaning groups like ours would basically register, and that we would say that we are following certain best practices. Mm-hmm. And then if we keep track of where we glean,
right,
then there's a record. Mm-hmm. So that if anybody, and this has never happened, this is mm-hmm. what really upsets a lot of people. They're like, well, we don't have any incidents of anyone actually getting sick from a gleaned and donated product.
Yeah.
But we do have an incidence of obesity and diabetes, and isn't it better to try to get more healthy mm-hmm. food into the hands of those who really need it and could benefit mm-hmm. from it? So what we really want is a balance. And so we keep those records. So for us to register, it's actually not going to be a problem at all.
Okay, so it's not going to be like the individual person with a lemon tree isn't going to have to get involved in bureaucracy?
Well, as it now stands, theoretically they are supposed to. But we're trying to work it out so that if they call us, for example, mm-hmm. we'll be registered or something like that, and we will have a record. And I think the county, they are really operating in good faith with us, mm-hmm. and their intentions are so good. I feel like it's going to be resolved mm-hmm. well. And I would like it to be resolved so that anybody can donate fresh produce mm-hmm. and not have to do the certificate.
Yeah.
And there is a federal law that covers this. It's called the Emerson Good Samaritan Act, passed in the 1996. So why can't we in Sonoma County or in the state of California have something like that when something is picked and given to someone in good faith to an organization that serves those who are in need in good faith, that they should be covered. They're good Samaritans.
This explains something I got in the mail. It was very puzzling. I got this form letter from the health department, and then this application form I was supposed to fill out and send back about my farm.
Uh-huh.
And I just looked and I was like, I don't sell any. It's like, what?
Mm.
And, you know, no one's ever gleaned from me in mm-hmm. the form of someone gleaning. I've let people over the years. 10 years ago, I let somebody come and pick because they made their own homemade quince wine.
Mm-hmm.
And I let a friend pick because she makes quince aperitif. But that's it. Mm-hmm. And I get this thing. Some people make membrillo. But
yes,
it's all
right.
Like over the fence neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this thing, I thought, oh, they got me mixed up with somebody, and I just said it, I probably threw it out.
Yeah.
And then it was like 3 months later that I heard about this new thing. It's like, so somewhere somebody told the county that this little person, me, was giving away some quince?
I don't know how they got that. Maybe because
that's
of your,
so odd.
You have a higher profile, and perhaps.
Maybe, but that's
but
I don't
think
just
this
so
should
weird.
I don't think this should affect the exchange of fruits and vegetables among friends.
Uh-huh.
But there is a concern. There are other gleaning groups all over, of course,
sure.
but also here in Sonoma
mm-hmm.
County. Petaluma Bounty has a very vigorous, they call their gleaners their bounty hunters, which I think is perfect. But that was taken, so we couldn't use that one. And there's a in Sonoma Valley, a gleaning group. And we are trying to be a unified front on this, but I know that some of the gleaning groups really are fearful that this will actually squash the movement to bring community together over the sharing of the surplus and what we grow. And, you know, as I said, ideally we would all like it to go away, and we would like the state to have, or our local jurisdiction, a, if that's possible, that just Sonoma County could do it, the Good Samaritan Act, so that it does go away. And I have to say we've been very well supported by Supervisor Gore. He's our supervisor, and he, we talked to him about it, and he has just been fantastic. Just following up with us. How's it going? Is this moving in a direction that you would like to see it go? So I do feel very well supported by that.
Okay, that's great. That's good news. We're going to take a musical break. We'll be right back here on Mouthful. Mouthful, and that was Nouvelle Vague, sort of a French lounge band that does a lot of cover tunes. They're fabulous. So, Pauline, during that song, you were telling us about, you guys have an orchard there north of town in Sebastopol, right? And you registered it online to see what it would be like?
Yeah, so I actually filled out the Produce Gardener Certificate myself just to be able to answer questions for property owners, and also so that come summer we'd be able to donate. And it's a fairly simple questionnaire, but the way it's worded right now, it puts a like responsibility on the property owner. And when you're having gleaners come in, it's almost like some people felt like it doesn't quite fit for gleaning, like the way the questions are worded.
What's it? Can you give an example?
Like, it's asking, like, will the pickers have restrooms and wash their hands and, you know, wash the fruit? And it's like, the gleaners, we follow our best management practices and, you know, we're the ones responsible for picking the fruit, not the property owner. And so mm-hmm. some people felt, like, a little uncomfortable, might feel uncomfortable, like, taking responsibility for that. So just...
And it sounds very much like it's, first of all, large scale. It's that sounds big scale.
Yeah.
And it just sounds so businessy.
It also says under penalty of perjury, you certify that. And it asks questions, and this is the county certificate, mm-hmm. like, and all of our boxes are clean. And, well, if you're using a gleaner, you don't know if all the boxes are clean. Mm-hmm. We could say that they are, and mm-hmm. we do use clean boxes. But mm-hmm. So we actually, in good faith, when this first came down the pike, we tried to get all of our growers to fill this out. Mm-hmm. And Pauline, as our intern, she emailed everybody in February, I believe it was, because mm-hmm. of the new state law had gone into effect. Mm-hmm. And, of course, some people don't read their emails. Some people aren't on email who do this. We have a lot of people in our retirement communities. Mm-hmm. They don't use a computer. But we had about 15% compliant people returning it, just saying, okay, fine, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those 15, several of them are program director Danny Wilcox, who isn't with us today, but she's managing all of this. Mm-hmm. She literally would walk them through it on the phone, or she'd come over to their house and mm-hmm. sit with them so that they could answer questions like that and mm-hmm. say, okay, yes, we will certify that the boxes, we'll tell you the boxes are clean. We'll tell you that no one is sick who is doing the gleaning. So, and then we had about 5 of those 100 who just out and out just didn't want to do it.
I heard that there were some that said, no, I won't do this.
Right, because it seems a bit invasive. They're afraid they might be sued.
Yeah, it seems like you're raising your hand to go under a bureaucratic microscope.
Right. And so I would say the more sophisticated the grower, the more worries that they had. Mm-hmm. Although there were a few who kind of knew reality and knew no one was probably ever going to follow up on this, so they could go check. But we would just as soon see that all go away, and mm-hmm. we could be the ones who are responsible for at least making mm-hmm. sure that we're following best practices. And those are things like we don't pick up anything off the grounds. Yeah. If there's a windfall, we leave it there. Mm-hmm. So because it could have been contaminated by animal droppings. Mm-hmm. We put tarps down. We use clean buckets. The boxes are clean. Mm-hmm. What else? Anything else that you can think of, Pauline, that pops in your mind that we have a whole list of practices, mm-hmm. but most of them are common sense, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So. Yeah. That's what a lot. That seems so much what food safety is about. In fact, I write about this in almost every book I write. Because, you know, for a while there was, oh, you can't use a wooden cutting board, you have to use plastic. Mm. And, you know, so food safety is almost entirely common sense. Mm-hmm. You know, wash your hands a lot. Wash the surfaces that you put food on. You know, don't leave things unrefrigerated for a long time. Just use common sense, and that'll take care of almost everything.
And another thing is that we usually are gleaning. We haven't really discussed this, but we do a lot of... Well, the farms are not affected by this because they're already certified.
Right, right.
But we also do backyards, we do private orchards, and, I mean, we're gleaning in someone's private garden where they're growing for themselves, and they just have a lot of surplus, mm-hmm. and maybe they're elderly or they're only there on the weekends, and mm-hmm. they've asked us to come in and glean. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is produce that they're eating.
Yeah,
so it's very unlikely that anybody is going to get sick from this.
Yeah. Now, is what you do 100% gleaning, or do you also have things that do people sometimes drop things off?
We can sometimes we pick things up. We don't actually have an office. We have a storage unit where we keep that. We certify that too. That in our best practices, that everything is kept, you know, in a clean place. But mm-hmm. But we can get a call, and we are very happy to do that. Uh-huh. And we will have a volunteer come by and pick it up. Mm-hmm. And so some people prefer to pick their own, uh-huh. and that actually a lot of times with farmers too. They. Uh-huh. you know, they're very specific about what they want to sell and then what their seconds would be.
Sure.
And I've
sure.
been told by some farmers, well, you won't know what I want to sell and don't sell, but if you will come by, we will put them out for you, mm-hmm. and you can pick them up. And mm-hmm. then we take them to the food pantry usually. Mm-hmm. I mean, it depends on what it is. Lots of times fruits go to the programs that serve the children and our seniors mm-hmm. because they can be distributed so easily and mm-hmm. cut up. And food that has to be cooked, mm-hmm. the first place we would take that would be to our local food pantry. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we go to the Redwood Gospel Mission, the mm-hmm. Salvation Army, the residential center off of Litton Springs Road. And also the food bank, as we discussed, mm-hmm. the Redwood Empire Food Bank.
How many volunteers work with you?
Well, that's an ever-changing number because we are very we encourage people to come when they can. Mm-hmm. And we traditionally have only gleaned twice a week, but we've added some gleaning with students, so we have many times a week. But mm-hmm. right now I'd say we have a group of probably close to two dozen that kind of uh-huh. come and go, uh-huh. but we've had many more come, and then sometimes they only glean with us when they're between jobs, or mm-hmm. We have some students that will come and glean more in the summer. We have a couple families who they come up to Healdsburg every summer, mm-hmm. and the whole family will come out and glean with us. So I'd say that probably close to two dozen, mm-hmm. but there we never have even two dozen at one time.
Right, sure.
Unless we have, like, a classroom coming with us.
Uh-huh. So. And then do you glean year-round?
Yes, we do.
You do,
oh,
right.
my goodness.
Yes.
You know Sonoma County.
Oh, absolutely. some people would think that, December, January. But I know that there are several streets in Healdsburg where you can just walk down, and if you look up, there's so much citrus that goes
yeah.
on. I always want to take it. I'm a huge fan of citrus.
So we do hit, you know, these periods where it's citrus, mm-hmm. and then soon it'll be the apples starting in July with the Gravensteins.
Sure.
And then we just love getting a call from a farm so we can get out and we can bend over instead of look up.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a couple farms we have a very nice relationship with, Foggy River Farm in uh-huh. particular, and they call us out. And because how rapidly the summer squash and cucumbers yeah. grow,
yes.
they'll harvest for their CSA, and then they'll know that what they are not picking is going to be too large before they go to the farmer's market.
Mm-hmm.
So they will call us to come in, and we get the most beautiful cucumbers and mm-hmm. squash.
Yeah, you can turn around, and they're bigger than your
yes,
head.
Yes, exactly. So and then we've been, Mix Garden Farm has called us out a lot mm-hmm. to glean recently. Danny established a really nice relationship with them, and then we go out to Preston Family Farms occasionally,
Preston, yeah.
and Bernier Farms.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes we have to remind, you know, they're so busy, these farmers.
Oh, yeah.
So sometimes we have to call them and say, so how's it going? Do you have any surplus? And they're like, oh. We were just going to call
yeah,
you.
Sure. Yeah.
We've got arugula or what were you just, a Singing Frogs farm. Now that's, you know where they
oh, yeah.
are. They're
sure.
in Sebastopol.
Right.
And they emailed us a couple weeks ago. And this gleaning team went out there. I'll let you guys talk about it.
We picked lettuce. Do you remember what kind? It was the most beautiful lettuce.
Like, I know they have a lot of butterheads.
It wasn't. I don't remember the name, but it was like three times bigger than like uh-huh. any head of lettuce I'd ever seen before. And just the weather, you know, has been so warm that they had this glut of lettuce
yeah.
earlier than they normally would have it. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, their CSA box isn't happening as often as it would be later in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And so
sure.
extra lettuce. And they mm-hmm. called us and we got to go.
Do you remember how many pounds, Pauline, that you gleaned?
Well, the first week, Pauline and I went alone, and we had a limited amount, like an hour and a half to do this all, and we got like 88 pounds of lettuce together.
Or more like 100, yeah.
About 88 to 100 pounds of lettuce.
Yeah. We get into our statistics because it's very gratifying.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we had to have our picture taken by Farmer Paul with
oh,
all
yeah.
our bags of lettuce shoved in the back of Pauline's car. And then the next week, we had one of the gleaning families meet us there, and
I think we got like 160 pounds of lettuce.
Yes. The second time?
Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
And I believe you took that to the Redwood Empire Food Bank.
I think the Redwood Empire Food Bank and the Redwood Gospel
Mission.
Steve
Pogue.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was his family, and he was so thrilled that they were going to, his daughter was visiting, and he said it would be great if we could go to a farm, and lo and behold, we got this, it's just incredible how
things
work out. It really does.
Things work out.
And they had fun. I think she had her boyfriend visiting and the whole family.
Her husband, excuse me.
Yeah, okay.
Now, do you ever get eggs? Does anyone ever call you, they have too many eggs?
You know, though, we don't actually glean eggs,
okay.
But we have encouraged people to take them.
That's one
of the things that the regulation is going to be controlling more of, is the eggs. Yeah, so, and I'm not up, since we don't glean those, I'm not up to speed on exactly how. I mean, there's a limit, I think, to how much they can accept from any one person.
Yeah, because, you know, there was a dearth of eggs like 3 years ago. You had to get to the farmer's market really early to get eggs.
Yeah.
And now there are so many chickens. It's so exciting.
Yeah.
There are just so many fabulous eggs in the county right now.
And so many people just, my neighbor, I live actually in Healdsburg, and my neighbor has, I hear, sometimes they get lost in there.
They come over?
Yeah, they come over. So it's interesting to see how many people are just right in town.
Yeah, my neighbors with chickens moved. They had nine hens, and I loved it when they went away because I would take care of them. And there's just nothing like going in and getting those eggs that are still warm. I love it. But they moved away. But I still have chickens near me and know a lot of people who keep them.
And what about the rooster? Do you have the roosters, too?
No, they didn't have a rooster.
Oh.
Just the hens. And, you know, some hens are happy without a rooster.
Hmm.
Some hens are depressed if there's no rooster.
Really?
Yeah, just talking to various people who keep chickens, they will talk about, and it's very interesting the way they enforce their pecking order. And if there is a rooster, the rooster sits, if you're standing looking at the roosts, the rooster, if there's one, he sits in the upper left corner. And then the hen that is at the top of the pecking order sits next to him. And it goes from there until on the bottom rung of the roost, the chicken on your right, on the lowest rung, she's the one on the lowest pecking order.
Oh,
and they a lot of what they do when you see them running around, they are enforcing their pecking order. And I love chicken behavior. It's just fascinating.
Well, have you written a book about that?
I have not.
Maybe we have an idea here.
We'll see. There are a lot of people. I feel like if I were to write a book about chickens, I would have to keep some.
I think you would.
Yes, and I need to be two people to do that.
No.
You know, I'm not much of a builder, and I'm not the person who to go out into the coop when the fox has torn it open and killed him. I had a chicken. She lived in Forestville. Her name was Ophelia, and a fox or a raccoon got in, and she was the first one in the flock to go. And, you know, even though I didn't even see it, I still cried. So I need to be two people if I'm going to keep chickens. But we've got one more. We've got something else to talk about. We've got an event coming up, which is really what stimulated tonight's episode. On June 13th at Medlock Ames on Alexander Valley Road, there is Summer Supper in the Vineyards from 6 to 10, and it is a benefit for Farm to Pantry. So let's talk about this event.
Yes, well, as you said, it's our very first fundraiser, and we're all very excited about it. There are going to be three of our local chefs are going to be cooking.
Yeah, you've got Dino from Diavola, Kyle from Single Thread, and Miles from Shed.
Right.
And then, Single Thread's not open yet.
No. But he and his wife, Katina, are pretty new to Sonoma County. And I'm very excited that they were interested in doing this with us. And they're also interested in having a collaboration with us to have us come out and glean on a pretty regular basis.
Great.
Once they have their, Katina's the farmer, and they've got a couple pieces of land down by the river that they will be planting. And they also asked if we could help make some connections to some of the farmers that we deal with. And I think some of them may now be growing for a Single Thread farm. So Bricks in particular comes to mind. So anyway, so the three of them, and it's going to be a pig roast, and so primarily that's the focus, and that's going to be Dino will be doing the pig roast, and the pig was very generously donated by Ritual Farm. That's a Kenny Lowe.
He's our new the new market manager.
Yes, he's the new Healdsburg, and he's also joined our board of Farm to Pantry. So,
oh, great!
And he donated before he came forth with that, and so and then Casto, our local wonderful bakery, is going to be doing the desserts. So, and Kyle and Miles, I think, are going to be collaborating on the past hors d'oeuvres and the
side dishes.
Yes, and they are. We have connected them with some of the farmers that would like to donate, and then so it'll all be based on what's obviously seasonal,
what's
and
what's
local.
Available.
Yeah, and so and then there'll be the band, Trio Soleil, I believe, nice Latin rhythm, and we will be finishing off the evening. There will be a nice live auction, and we're very excited.
What sort of things in the auction?
Well, we were very delighted that Douglas Keene, who was the chef of Cyrus and the master top chef, has agreed to donate a dinner for 10, and it's going to be paired with some wine, Sabraja wines, made by renowned winemaker Ed Sabraja. And that will be at either the winery there, which is at the end of Dry Creek. So it's going to apparently they have a whole new, I guess they built a deck, so it could be
out
on the deck overlooking Dry Creek as the sun sets. Or if you live in the Bay Area, we have to put that caveat in there, it could be in your home.
At your home.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So,
so that's the big auction item.
That is one of the big ones. And then we have, I brought it here because I knew I would not remember all the different items. There's a wonderful tour of the Bertapelli Cellars Vineyard and a three-course lunch that's going to be paired with that. And then there's going to be Single Thread Farm. They're offering a day with them, starting off by going to actually to the farm and then helping with the prepping and the preparation, and then you get to go home and change and come back and eat what you have worked on. So those are some of the items that we have in mind. And I should say, I have to put a plug in for Farm to Pantry. We're going to be doing a gleaning event that where we would take you to one of our properties, depending on the season, and you would get to participate with us, and then finish off the morning with a lunch out at Jimtown Store. But and we were just thinking it would be lovely for maybe a bonding, corporate bonding kind of training event or a birthday party. We actually did one of these. A young woman was having her bat mitzvah, and she wanted to do a mitzvah, so we organized one.
And, oh, nice.
No, it didn't include the lunch, but they went and did their own lunch. So I think it's going to be a very fun opportunity.
And again, that's on June 13th. It is from 6 to 10. How do, and people get tickets at Brown Paper Tickets. What's the cost? It's not on here.
Well, it's a fundraiser, so it's $150.
$150,
okay.
$150. And you can find out about that. You know, the best way, I think, is to go to Brown Paper Tickets and put in June 13th, Summer Supper.
We also have it on our website.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And so there is a website, okay?
Yes, farmtopantry.org, and there's a button that says Summer Supper Event, and then you click on that, and then they'll take you.
Thank you. That's even easier.
Yeah. It's got all the information, and then a link. It says click here to buy your tickets, and then it takes you to
the
Brown Paper Tickets.
Okay, great. So we are going to take one more musical break here on Mouthful, and we'll be right back.
I had a love and it was a curse. Soon turned out her heart of glass. Seemed like the real thing only to find. Much mistrust, love gone behind. Once I had a love and it was divine. Soon found out I was losing my mind. Seemed like the real thing. But I was so blind. Much mistrust, love gone behind. the real thing, but I was so blind. Much mistrust, love gonna be high. Once I have a love and it was a guy, soon turned out to be a pain in the ass. Seemed like the real thing, only to find much to mistrust, love gone behind.
It is Mouthful Smart Talk about food, wine, and farming on KRCB. My guest this evening, Pauline Allen and her mama, Dina Allen. Did I get it right? Yay. And then founder of Farm to Pantry, Melita Love. That's just such a great great name. Melita Love. Do you know Melita Station?
I do. I do. And it's when I first moved here, I couldn't believe how frequently I saw the name Melita. There's Melita Road and then Melita Station.
Yeah.
So it would have been great growing up here, because when I was growing up in the 50s back in Maryland, I could always tell when the teacher was going to get to my name on that first
they'd
day.
They'd hesitate.
Because she couldn't pronounce it.
That's how it was with Michelle.
Really?
My spelling is the French spelling, which is one L. I got called Michael more often than I got called Michelle. I would get in trouble and say, young lady, you're sitting in the wrong seat. Where's Michael? I even had, I was in a master's program in French at San Francisco State, and the chairman of the department called me Michael. I thought, you know, I have a feeling I'm not going to last long in this program, and I think I lasted 6 weeks. So yeah, Melita Station, I actually taught cooking classes there for a while, a long time ago when a dear friend was managing it. And it's, I mean, that was in the mid-80s. It's a beautiful place. Love that place. Anyway, we're not talking about Melita Station. We are talking about gleaning. And let's say somebody listening, how do they get a hold of you? Do you want people who have extra things to give you a call?
Oh, absolutely. And as I was saying earlier, there are a number of other gleaning groups. So it kind of depends on where you live in the county, because we all like to be very local. So if you are in sort of the North County area, that would include Northern Santa Rosa,
Geyserville, Windsor, Healdsburg.
Yes, and Northern Santa Rosa too. Definitely you can contact us. The easiest way is to just go to our website, and there's a place to click, and it'll take you to gleaning@farmtopantry.org, and you send us an email. You can call 707-431-0425.
So that's 431-0425.
Right,
okay.
That's the number.
Or farmtopantry.org.
Right. Or the email is gleaning@farmtopantry.org.
Okay.
So, but if you don't remember it, just go to our website under Contact Us.
And I will, over the next couple of days, I will get together a list of contacts for all the gleaning organizations in Sonoma County, and I will post that on Mouthful's page so that you a nice, handy thing.
And there are parts of the county where they really don't have a vibrant gleaning group. And if you are interested after listening to this program, contact us, and we would love to help you get started in your part of the county. So, for example, in the West County, there is a group called Slow Harvest there, and they partner with farms.
And that's a wonderful model for them. But that means that there are a lot of orchards out there where there really isn't a group.
And, I live in the middle of them. There's so many orchards near me that go unharvested. Yeah.
So sometimes we'll get a call to go out there, and if we can, or if Dina and Pauline are willing, we'll try to get them a few other volunteers mm-hmm. to go. But it would be wonderful to have someone who would really like to be the spirit behind it
sure.
and really take it and mm-hmm. run with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a very simple, basically a simple premise. It's just connecting those mm-hmm. who have the surplus mm-hmm. with those who can volunteer mm-hmm. their time. And we started off being an entirely volunteer
mm-hmm. so you,
organization.
But now you have a couple staff or something?
Well, we have one full-time, well, she's not full-time, three-quarter-time program director, Danny Wilcox, and we have a paid intern over here.
Right.
But a lot of the organizations have always been and will probably continue to be mm-hmm. all volunteer. And the reason why we are having our fundraiser and we have now gotten grants and mm-hmm. we have become our own 501c3 is because...
Oh, that's going to be my next question.
Yes, well, I realized... I don't know, after about 3 or 4 years of doing this myself, and I am still a volunteer,
mm-hmm.
what's going to happen if something happens to me mm-hmm. or I just run out of steam?
Sure.
And the volunteers that I work with are all wonderful, but it does take a lot of time. It's a simple model, but it takes a lot of
sure.
time to contact the property owners and get the volunteers.
Oh, absolutely.
And then we don't ever send anybody out without going to the property ourselves.
Oh, really? Okay. So you see it first.
Oh, yeah. And we meet the property owner. And, that's interesting. A lot of times, especially in our retirement communities, it may be the only time they've seen somebody
a
while.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, there's a lot of ways. We like to say that we actually cultivate community
mm-hmm.
through healthy food, and that's one of the ways. Is
what a nice thing.
And we have wonderful property owners out there. I like to call them our growers.
Uh-huh. There should be a party, maybe at the Grange.
Well, we actually do have...
Do an annual party?
Oh, yes. We do an annual party. In the last 2 years, it's been out at Foggy River. Linda and Emmett are wonderful mm-hmm. to host it, and their parents are wonderful, too. And Linda's actually on our new board. So,
oh, great.
So as part of this, we had uh-huh. to have a board. But so what I would say is I realized in order for this to keep going and to be sustainable, we would actually have mm-hmm. to hire a person
sure.
to do it.
Absolutely.
And that's what's really, we just had very small grants in the very mm-hmm. beginning that were covering that storage unit I mentioned, mm-hmm. and that was about it. And so now we have a small staff, and mm-hmm. I think we are here
mm-hmm.
for the future. We're not going away, and that makes sense.
That's really great. Maybe you'll end up being like an umbrella organization. Where
that is on our our board has to talk about that.
Yeah, so that everybody doesn't have to get their own 501c3. You know, there was, before you moved up here, there was a fabulous organization, Select Sonoma County. Different.
Uh-huh.
Do you know? And
I heard of it. I remember
hearing
about
it. Yeah, it was just... It started out as a pilot project, and then for 10 years, it was just really thriving in promoting Sonoma County products, both within the county. They were the one, the Select Sonoma County labels, and also outside of the county. And what they started nearing the 10th anniversary, or maybe even a few years before, they reached out to become an umbrella organization. I had a small group called the Sonoma Provence Exchange. We had a sisterhood with one of the departments in Provence. Okay. And so we came under their umbrella, and that was the way that they saw the organization really thriving, was to bring other, because for my little organization, it was going to be daunting to do our own 501c3, but it was just a breeze, and then we had the financial structure as well. And some things happened, and eventually, the fabulous executive director left, and the new ones just didn't hold the organization together, but it's gone. But that's, I thought of that when you're talking about all these different ones, I thought, maybe you'll become the umbrella organization.
Well, it's something that our new board is going to be mm-hmm. discussing down the road, but our board is brand new, so
yeah.
we're just in the
uh-huh.
these building our infrastructure and building the board out. And but I it is a concern. Sustainability was prior to this, because I know of, just since we started in 2008, three gleaning groups that have stopped here in Sonoma County. Mm-hmm. So we actually have need for one in Santa Rosa. Mm-hmm. There's a wonderful organization, Waste Not, Want Not, and Karen Lee would glean with Becoming Independent. And that was a model for us. Uh-huh. We, every Thursday, have our Becoming Independent group out. And then there was one in Cloverdale and one associated with the 4-H. Mm-hmm. And they just... The volunteers running them just needed to move on.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, KRCB, the programmers are. I mean, I've been a volunteer putting the show together for 20 years, and you know, there are a couple of other people who've had shows as long. But basically, the locally produced shows here, we do it because we love it and we're committed to it. So, and a lot of people do it for a few years and they have to move on.
Right.
So, you know, maintaining that ongoing commitment is really hard to organize your life around that. Yeah. We've got just a few minutes left. You have another event coming up. It's going to be at the end of June, that last Tuesday potluck that takes place at the Sebastopol Grange.
Yes, they wanted to actually, Pauline, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but our wonderful intern here, she actually asked us if we might like to present at the Grange, because she and her mother here are members. Would you tell a little bit about it? The
Sebastopol Grange is a wonderful group of community, and just kind of embraces, like, a lot of the stuff Farm to Pantry also embraces, building community, supporting local food, and helping people in need. And I thought it'd be a really great connection to do a gleaning presentation there, and so kind of brought this together. At every monthly potluck, there's a presentation. Mm-hmm. So,
and how do you become a member of the Grange? Just quickly, so that if people are interested, they can go online, right?
Oh, you can attend a monthly potluck and then sign up when you're there.
Okay, there you go. And there's, if you just Google Sebastopol Grange, you'll get
there. Yeah, there's a Sebastopol Grange website, and the community is invited to the potluck the last Tuesday of every month, and you do not have to be a member to enjoy the camaraderie and listen to the speakers.
And what do you bring? Do people just bring whatever they want?
Yeah. Yes, there's a lot of good home-cooked, homegrown food
there. We love home-cooked food.
Yes.
Okay, well, on that note, thank you so much. One more time, it is farmtopantry.org, where you can find out about the Summer Supper in the Vineyards taking place Saturday, June 13th. You can get all the other information about the gleaning organization.
Thank you very much, Michelle.
Thanks to all three of you for being here on Mother's Day. Really appreciate it. I will not be here next week. But something really interesting and delicious will be on Mouthful. Have a great week.
Selling out, who can blame them? Wine to cash, crop growing strong. And in the fields of Pendle Valley, buildings sprout up like new sown seeds. Now they call it Telecom Central, 'cause this is what consumers. I am the voice that sings this song. from this land once open and free. Well, they got pictures in the museum of local color that used to be.